Morning. The past 2 weeks we discussed in the sugya of Niske Shcheinim, and we're focusing primarily on noise and traffic. Today we're going to begin the classic cases of Niske Shcheinim, when you're causing actual damage to the property next door. Now, just to give some, start off with a few examples, and then we'll go through the actual sugya, and we'll, time permitting, we'll get back to the halakha l'maisa. You have an immaculate lawn, beautifully landscaped. Everything is done just right. Your neighbor, on the other hand, has a large family, and their priorities are a bit different. They'd rather spend their money on their tuitions and their other expenses. And they're not quite as careful with how their lawn looks. Now, of course, they have this beautiful, huge tree smack in front, in the middle of their yard, and comes the fall, the leaves end up all over the place. Some of them end up on your neighbor's property, and as these things tend to happen, some of them blow over to your property. Do you have the right to object? Do you have the right to force your neighbor to go ahead and take care of his lawn to prevent it from blowing onto your property? Now, another issue that comes up with regards to trees is what happens if he has a tree that is growing over your property and the branches are coming very close to your house and you start noticing there are squirrels that are using the tree as a highway, if you will, coming up the tree over, through the branches and going onto your roof, getting into your attic and causing all sorts of damage. Can you force the neighbor to go ahead and cut the tree or to cut the branches and to move away because of the damage that he is causing you? Another issue that comes up is if you're doing construction. While you're doing construction, you're banging away. You have heavy machinery there, and that the vibrations, the banging, can cause problems on your neighbor's property. Does he have the right to stop you? Can you argue that I'm building on my property? I can do what I want. Now, as we're going to see, most of the examples in the Gemara are fairly uncommon. We don't dig ditches on next to our neighbor's property very often. We don't do our laundry outside. Our bathrooms are, Baruch Hashem, inside. The specific examples in the Gemara are very rare to actually come up today. So we're going to focus less on the specific examples and more on the asidas, the concepts, and see how they apply to modern life. Now, the basic question is like this. We all understand there's a concept of Adam HaMasik. A person goes ahead, takes a brick, and lobs it through his neighbor's window. That is Adam HaMasik, and that's certainly going to be Aser. And if you do that, you're going to be responsible to pay for the damage. Now, even if you happen to be standing on your own property while you're busy lobbing the bricks or lobbing the hand grenades, if you will, clearly that's going to be Aser. Because the fact that you right now are standing on your property does not give you a heter to be mazik, a neighbor to be mazik somebody else. The question is going to be more when this damage is indirect. When you're not sitting there and lobbing hand grenades, you're simply planting a tree. You're simply going ahead and digging in your property, but it's having some form of an impact on your neighbor. And there the question is, to what extent can you argue, I'm doing this on my property, I can do what I want, I'm not going into your property, I'm not trespassing, I'm not physically putting anything on your property, therefore, leave me alone, let me do as I see fit. And where do we say that? No, since what you're doing has an impact on your neighbor, it's hurting him, he has the right to say, you can do what you want on your property, as long as it doesn't bother me. But the moment it bothers me, the moment it's a hezek, I have the right to object, I have the right to stop you from doing this. So, as far as the first category, we mentioned, I think, 2 weeks ago, that if you're banging, if you're, in most cases, you're grinding things, and there are vibrations so much so that it's shaking the walls of the property next door, that is a case of Adam HaMazik, and there the neighbor has the right to object. Even if you've been doing this for many years, and even if you were doing it before your neighbor built up his property, where it only became an issue once he built his house, once he built his mansion, now it's a problem. Nevertheless, because this is a mazik biyadayim, you're physically banging and shaking his property, that is a regular mazik, And he would have the right to object and to stop you and force you to discontinue what you're doing. So that is an extreme case. Let's now go to the other extreme. And that is, what is the halacha if a person plants a tree in the middle of his property? Now that itself is not a problem. But when you plant a tree, it grows. The tree grows, the roots grow, and they spread. And over time, these roots are going to spread, and they're going to go into your neighbor's property. And the mission discusses a case where your neighbor had a bar, he had a pit. And over time, the roots are going to grow into the pit and undermine it and destroy your neighbor's pit. Do you have the right to plant a tree? Or can the neighbor say no? You can't plant a tree, or if there is a tree, I can force you to cut it down so that it should not grow and undermine my pit. So the Mishnah says, this is a machlokes. The Chachamim say, if you want to plant a tree, you have to make sure it is 25 amos away from any a neighbor's pit, and that will provide enough of a cushion, enough of a protection that the roots will not damage it. It actually depends on the kind of tree. If there's a very large tree that grows there, you have to there the shear is 50 amos. But the Chachamim hold that your neighbor has the right to object to trees because at some point the roots will grow into my property, it will cause me damage, and therefore I can force you to remove the tree. You're a mazik. This is the Shita of the Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi, however, argues. Rabbi Yossi says that al hanizik l'harchik hasatma. And what that means is, since the planting a tree is not a maisa hezek, you're doing it in your property, you're not directly impacting your neighbors, Rabbi Yossi says you can do what you want. If your neighbor has a problem with his bar, with his pit, let him move his pit, let him go cut the roots, but you cannot prevent someone from planting a tree simply because over time, eventually it will grow into your neighbor's property and it will cause him problems. Now, halacha, we paskin like Rav Yossi, and therefore, if you have a tree in your property, and the neighbor objects that the branches or the roots are causing problems, they're growing into his house, they're destroying his foundation, the halacha is it's not your problem. If the nizik laharachik asatzmai, under normal circumstances, the nizik will have to deal with it himself. If he wants to cut your roots, he has the right to do so. And the place can speak out, even if by cutting the roots, your tree will eventually die. He's allowed to. Because he has no shibud to provide your tree with nourishment. And therefore, if it's bothering him, he wants to cut the roots, and he can do that. And if it'll die, it'll die. But to force you to get rid of the tree because it's growing into his foundation, because it's interfering with his sewer lines, or whatever it may be, according to Rabbi Yossi, you do not have the right to do so. Now, the same thing would be true with the branches. If they're hanging over his property and they're disturbing him, it's true he has the right to cut whatever branches are bothering him. If he's building a sukkah and he can't because of all the branches, if he wants to go ahead and hire someone with a cherry picker and trim the branches so that they're not over his property, he can do so because it's his property. So wherever it's bothering him, he can take action. But it is his problem, it's his responsibility. He cannot force the owner of the tree to participate in the cost, because the owner of the tree did nothing wrong. He simply planted a tree on his property. Anything that happened afterwards was very indirect. It took time for it to happen, and therefore he is not achroi for it. Now a tree, or this case, is a halacha psuka. We pass in like Rav Yossi, that al hanizik l'harchik hasatzmai, there's nothing wrong with planting a tree. This case is the easiest, if you will, to be made. Because when you plant a tree, number one, the damage does not happen for a long time. It's got to grow. Trees grow rather slowly. It'll take an extended period of time until it actually causes damage. On top of that, what you plant doesn't directly cause... You're planting a seed. It's the roots that will grow in the future, and they will spread. You plant it into your property, they spread or they grow naturally they grow on their own. That new growth will go ahead and go into your neighbor's property and will cause problems. So this case is what your connection to the damage is extremely indirect, and this is one of the easier cases to understand why, according to Rabbi Yossi, you do not have any obligation, and it's the Nizik has to fend for himself. Many of the other cases that we're going to deal with are going to be less extreme, and we'll have to juggle each case and figure out whether it's giri, whether it's Rabbi Yossi, or how to apply these parameters. However, there's one point, very important point that Nesivos makes, and that is we all know there's a concept of mamon hamazik. If you have an ox and you let it roam wild and it damages, the halacha is you're chayav to pay. Now, are you a mazik if your shor goes out and hurts someone? No, you're not. You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't directly cause the hezek. All you did is you left you didn't guard your shor, and your shor went ahead and caused the damage. When you have a tree, this is your tree. This is your mamon. Why don't we apply the same concept? That just like if you don't watch your shor and it goes ahead and causes damage, you're responsible for your shor's actions. So if you have a tree that you let it just grow without any restraint, why don't we say this is mamon hamazik? Your mamon is causing damage. You haven't guarded it correctly. So perhaps you should be responsible to pay. So this the Nesivos says an important insight. That the whole idea of mamon hamazik, the Torah was only obligating you to watch something when you have a shor. An ox can go ahead, if it's not watched appropriately, go ahead and cause damage. Now, the owner is really the only person who's capable of watching it. Because a victim can't go ahead and watch everyone else's shor. So over there, where you own something which will cause damage, where it's possible for you to watch it, just be a little bit more careful. You can still own a shor and watch it. It may be somewhat of a burden, but you can still enjoy the shor. You'll just have to be a little bit more vigilant. So there, the Torah has said, since you're the one that's able to watch it, and there the Torah was mechayev you to take care of it, and if you don't, you're responsible for what happened. Zoch Nesivos, when it comes to a tree, or when it comes to Nisvei Shechenim, we really only have two choices. If you're able to plant a tree, if you want to enjoy the tree, there's nothing you can do. You can't have a tree and watch it. What are you going to do? How do you control the growth of the roots? Therefore, Zoch Nesivos, when you're doing something in your property, and the only eitz is for us to tell you don't do it, just don't plant a tree because it'll cause damage, there the Torah the concept of mamon hamazik does not exist. And while again, in this case, Shechenim, there'll be certain cases where we can stop you, however, without Niskei Shechenim, as far as Mamon HaMazik, there the whole concept does not apply because there's no practical way to guard it. It's simply a question of stopping you from using your property in a natural way. That we cannot do unless you have a run into Niskei Shechenim. But Mamon HaMazik does not apply simply because there's no practical way to have it here and to guard it. So be that as it may, what comes out is that planting a tree, Halacha L'maisa, is mutter. Because you are planting it in your property, any damage that happens both takes time, doesn't happen right away, it's through the growth of the roots, that is beyond your responsibility, and therefore you don't have to worry about it. You plant a tree wherever you want, and if the roots cause your neighbor problems, he is the one that will have to deal with it. So this leads us... Mm-hmm. Okay, blocking view and privacy is another sugya. That's Kuf Nundal that we'll have to get to later. So this leads us to the next case in the Mishnah. The Mishnah has the following case. A person wanted to put a ladder against his wall. Now, your next door neighbor had a shoivach, where he kept birds right nearby. Zok the Mishnah, you cannot put a ladder within Dalet Amos, within 6 to 8 feet of this bird cage, because we're afraid, Shema Yikbet Sanemiyah, you'll have an animal, again we'll use a squirrel, which is just a common example, that we're afraid that when you put the ladder there, a squirrel will come and jump from the ladder into the birdcage and eat your friend's birds for lunch. So because of Niskei Shechenim, because by you putting the ladder you're enabling this animal to jump in and eat the birds, therefore your neighbor can object and say, don't put your ladder close to my shoivach, move it at least Dalet Amos away. The Gemara says, wait a second. We just said the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. That if you want to plant a tree, you can plant a tree in your property, and the fact that the roots will grow in and eventually destroy your neighbor's bar is not your problem. You're doing what you want in your property, you're not a mazik, and you don't have to worry about the consequences. If that's true, then what's the problem with putting a ladder here? It's true that Over time, squirrels will come, they'll climb up the ladder, they'll jump into your friend's shayvach. But why is that worse than planting a tree? You're not directly causing this damage. Zog the Gemara, Moide Rabbi Yossi de Giri Dilei. Rabbi Yossi agrees, Giri Dilei literally means with your arrows, that if you're shooting arrows into your neighbor's property, you cannot do that, even according to Rabbi Yossi. And as the Gemara explains, that we're afraid that when you bring the ladder and put the ladder right near your neighbor's cage, we're afraid there is a nemiya, the squirrel's already hiding in the ladder. There's a little hole that's hiding there. And as you set up the ladder, it's going to immediately jump into the cage. Zog the Gemara, even though it's a grama, you're not an Adam Hamazik, you're not the one eating the birds, you're just enabling this nemiya, this animal, to jump in. Still, since at the moment, as you put the ladder there, immediately the animal will jump right into the cage, that is Giri Dilei. That's direct enough that we look at it as your action. And it's asur because of Niske Shechena. So what we see clearly is that we do not need to stop someone from doing something in his property. We do not need an Adam HaMazik. We do not need a Garmi. We do not need a case where you are the actual Mazik. All you need is that it's Giri Didei, that immediately or from what you're doing, the Hezek is immediately set up, and right away this Nemiya can jump into your neighbor's birdcage. However, when there's a delay, when things have to move, where it has to travel, it has to go there already, it will not be due delay, there you're going to be positive. Yes, in other words, everyone agrees that since it's in his property, I don't have to provide an area for my friend's tree to grow. Correct. Even though because the reason why the tree is dying is the tree can only survive if it takes nourishment from my property. Now, I never sold that right or obligated myself to provide nourishment as this tree is digging into my foundation. So I can cut it even if it dies, but I can't send you the bill. The expense of dealing with it is going to be my expense and not yours. Okay, good question. There is a concept of cheskes tashmishay, where if you're, even a more extreme case, the Mishnah talks about a case where you have a gutter, and the fellow next to you wants to build a wall. He has to leave dalet amos between the clearance between the gutter and the wall that he builds on his property. And the reason is that when there's a gutter, you need access to put a ladder to go clear out that gutter. And you see this concept that once is a cheskes tashmishay, once you're using your neighbor's property with rishus, and either his moichol, he gives it to you, whatever the pshat is, we'll discuss the machlokas rishayim. Once he gives you the right to use his property for this type of thing, he can't pull it back. And therefore, in most cases, again, unless it's a tremendous hefsid and hezik where we say there's no mechila, in most cases, once he gives you rishus, once it was samach beheter, you will not have to move it back afterwards. In most cases. So, going back, we have three cases. Banging, where you're directly causing a hezek, that's literally Adam HaMazik, certainly awesome. Planting a tree, we pass like Rav Yossi, where Alanizik Laharchik, since what you're not directly causing the hezek, you can do what you want. If the Nizik has a problem, he has to deal with it. Putting up a ladder, we're saying, is Giri Didei. Although you're not a Mazik B'Yadayim, still, since the hezek happens immediately, and it starts right away, and it's happening from that place, there, Rav Yossi agrees that a neighbor can object and he can stop you from doing it.
Does it happen?
Excellent, excellent, excellent. You know, what's clear in the Gemara is, it's only considered Giri if the Gemara has this interesting problem. Maybe there's a squirrel hiding in the ladder, and when you put up the ladder, it'll jump immediately. Which means, if that's not an issue, you have a metal ladder. Nothing's hiding in the ladder. So in that case, it would just be a problem that in the future, squirrels will come and use this ladder as a stepping stool, a way to get to the shayvach. That would not be Giri. It's true, it's causing the damage, but that's too far removed. It's not your direct action, and therefore there'll be no tain of niske shechem. That's what the Gemara says. Now, what the Gemara doesn't speak, about is, why doesn't the person have a very simple argument? He says, you know what, you're right. If there's an animal hiding there, it's going to be giri. I'm going to check, I'll bring the ladder to Bezin beforehand. I'll ask Bezin here. Look at this, look at the ladder. Is there an amiya hiding here or not? No? Okay, let me set it up. Can you make such an argument? Or similarly, again, a little slightly different twist, what happens if the person went ahead, he didn't listen to the halach? He set the ladder up, and Baruch Hashem, when he set up the ladder, there was no namiya hiding there. The next day you notice it, and you say, get rid of it. So the person says, why? It's true, I shouldn't have done it because we had this problem. Maybe there was a squirrel there and it'll jump right away. But Baruch Hashem, that didn't happen. Now that it's up, my action is done. What do you want from me? So here we find, it's interestingly enough, this is not discussed explicitly in the Rishonim. It's discussed much later. There's a Chazanish, and there's an Achrayim to deal with it. So there are a number of svaras that I mentioned. Chazanish actually has an interesting chiddush, and he makes really two points. The first point he says is, this ladder is something that it's a ladder. When you need it, you lean it against your wall. Then when you have to change the light bulb, you bring it inside. You need it outside again, you move it. It's constantly moving back and forth. Zog the Chazanish, it's very nice you're going to argue that right now I'm going to put up the ladder, I'm going to be careful. That's nice for today. But if for the rest of the rest of your life, whenever you need to do a repair, you're going to take this ladder and move it back, you might be careful today, but you're going to slip eventually. And therefore, to allow you to say it's mutter to go within the Dalai Lama is because you'll be careful now, that doesn't work. Because since over time, we can't trust you, over time, it's likely that you'll slip, you won't be careful, and a miyah may come. Therefore, Chazal went ahead and said, that's nothing doing. You can never move the ladder there because we have this chashash, the miyah might be there at some point, and we'll jump. Based on this, the Chazanish has a tremendous chiddush halacha l'maaseh. Let's say you want to build a stairwell right nearby. Now, when you build a stairwell, the stairwell is going to be there for a long time. But you're building it only once. Chazanish suggests, you have every right to say, while I'm building it, I'm going to be careful. If it's metallic and you're constantly going back and forth, there Chazal rejected that argument, because over time it's not going to work. But if it's a one-time thing, you're just building it, while you're doing construction, you'll make sure there are no squirrels around. So therefore, the Chazanish suggests that this Isser, or this Harchoko, is only by metallic, not when it's Kavua. Now, Chazanish is a Chiddush, the Ritva, in the Sugya, when he talks about it, says clearly it applies to both a sulam, which is metaltel, or kavua. Seems to be, even though it's fixed, the Ritva says the Yisr would apply across the board. It does not seem to go with this Chazanish Svara. Chazanish actually has a second Svara that when steps are needed, in a case where needed, you need a second floor, you have to have steps somewhere, he says perhaps Nisra Shechedim cannot prevent you from doing something that is a basic need for a property. Now, it's similar to what we discussed 2 weeks ago, that even if you're making a lot of noise and there's someone who's sick, it's bothering him, normally they can stop you. But if it's typical noise that you normal use of the property, you have an air conditioner running, you have kids making noise, the typical standard use, we can't stop that, because in this case, we cannot outlaw the normal use of a property. So Chazanish says, building stairs to a second floor, which is typical, I guess, especially in Eretz Yisrael, where the stairs are outside normally, that's a typical use we can't stop. It's only in the case of a sulam and a shayvach, where it's a ladder, which is not so important, plenty of people can get around without keeping ladders against the wall, there we can come up with niske shechenu. But to deprive someone of a basic use of the property, the Chazanish says, you cannot do. So this is the first point, that the Chazanish's argument is that even if you be careful once, since it's something which happens constantly, we don't trust you for the future. Other Achroinim, at least the other question of what happens after the fact, if you put it up and there was no problem. So they make the following point, and also it's based on really on a different Chazanish, and that is that the entire Nisrei Shechenim is really a balance. On one hand, you have the right to use your property as you see fit. On the other hand, you have to have some sort of consideration. You have to protect the neighborhood. And Nisrei Shechenim and Chazal, in each case, were weighed which is more important. What outweighs what? Zok de Chazanish, if this action is something which can cause a direct damage of Giri, Chazal said this is going to be is awesome. So even if you have it, you did it, it's after the fact. You put it in a way and you were careful, you were lucky. There was no Nemi at the time. Once their kaveya, that putting up a ladder is included in the din of niskei shchein because it can cause damage right away, this became something you don't have the right to do at your neighbor's expense. And therefore, even after the fact, where your action is done, now if anything happens, is there just a grumma, it's just the squirrel's coming on its own, still, since having a ladder near, putting a ladder near a shoivach is, you have, the neighbor has the right to object in niskei shchein, and once it became a mazik, even after the fact, he has the right to force you to remove it, even though your action is done. What? It's okay. It's really it's two different chazan issues. I'm just But that so this is an important yisayid of and other achrayim say it as well. That once it has a din of niskei shchein, once it has a shem mazik, now already you can't say I'm doing what I want in my property. Now Chazal said this is something which you can't do in your property. Even after the fact, we'll be able to force you to move it. There's an interesting machloikis. Seems to be machlokes Torah and Shulchan Aruch. How far does this go? There's the Shulchan Aruch brings down the case. You have the shoivach, you have the birds, and the ladder is within Dalet Amos. What if you have the bird, there's a wall running nearby, and you put the ladder on the other side of the wall, where it's more than Dalet Amos away, but we have to be concerned that the Nemiya will jump from the ladder to the wall, it'll roll down the wall, and then jump from the wall to the Shoivach. So the Torah sounds like it's a problem, because ultimately, by you putting the ladder there, you're enabling it to get into the birds. Chazanish seems to follow this halakha l'maisa. However, the Sma is medayik from the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, the Ramban, and some other Rishayim, not like that. That the giri is only if you're putting the ladder, it's going to jump directly from the ladder into the cage. That's considered giri. But if it's going to jump from the ladder to the wall, then it's going to take a stroll down the wall, and from the wall jump into the bird cage, that already is too far removed, and there they would not be able to call that a giri or be mechayev of them to do a hachaka because of it. Now, Chazanish brings out another point. We mentioned very briefly 2 weeks ago a case where there was a person who was Makas Dai, had blood, people were letting blood. Apparently they were doing it outside. And the blood attracted birds, vultures, ravens, whatever it is. They came, they were attracted by the blood. Now, because they were attracted by the blood, they came, and the neighbors objected. The difference in Machlokes Rishayim and why they were objecting, either their birds are making a lot of noise, or after they would come and they would get themselves all bloody, they would then fly to the neighbor's property and get blood all over the trees, all over the fruits, and the neighbors objected. And the Gemara says that you have the right to object and force the person to stop letting blood next to your property. Wait a second. When putting a ladder next to a bird cage, is that aser or is that mutter? So we just said, that's aser. But why is it aser? Only because we're afraid that while you're moving the ladder, the squirrel is on the ladder, it's going to jump immediately. If it's going to happen later on, over time, that's not giri, and we cannot stop you. If that's the case, when a person's letting blood, that's not that immediate. He lets the blood, there's blood around. The blood now attracts the birds come. Now, after they feast on the blood, they then go ahead and fly onto your neighbor's property. It doesn't happen right away. That's rather indirect. So what gives you the right to object in that case? Why is it different than the case of a sulam, where you can only object if it happens right away? That the case of blood is much worse. Because in the case of a nemiya, where you have a squirrel, you're putting the ladder there enables a squirrel to go up the ladder and jump and get the birds. But you're not causing it to happen. You're just enabling it to happen. The squirrels anyway are circling around looking for the birds and trying to figure out a way to get in. Now there's a ladder. They have a way. They have an eitzah. They have a way to get up there. In the case of letting the blood, there you're doing much more. There, what you're doing is you're pulling the birds. So you're attracting the birds here by having blood on the property. That is what's drawing the birds here in the first place. Doing a maisa that draws the mazik here. that itself is going to be giri, even though it then takes a certain amount of time for it to go from your property to the next property. Now, based on that, the Pesach Choshen says that if you have in your property, you leave some rotten things around, and that will attract either insects or, you know, your person's very sloppy, and his house attracts, you know, cockroaches, bed bugs, whatever it may be. So according to this Chazon Ish, the neighbors can object, because even though it may take some time for the infestation to go from your apartment to the next apartment, nevertheless, since you're not just being just passive, since you're doing something that literally draws them into you, they're already going to be responsible for what happens next, even though there's a delay and there's time in between your action and the actual hazard. Secondary smoke might be direct. We had the Igros Moshe, which he had in last week's Maror Mekoyimus, says that if you're smoking in a place, he says it's direct. And the Igros Moshe goes so far as to say is that if you're smoking and you cause someone problems, he says it could be your mazik, it could be a dayim, because you're directly, you know, you're breathing out or these, you know, these fumes or these carcinogens. He's mitzadeh that you are a mazik be a dayim. It's in the last week's Maror Mekoyimus. Correct. And in practice, you're going to have a very hard time. I know today there are all sorts of lawsuits against the tobacco companies. It's very hard for someone to sue a smoker saying you were goyim in illness, because there's a delay. There are many other factors involved, and it's going to be almost impossible. It'll be impossible to pinpoint your smoking caused me this damage. But Ramesha is more saying conceptually, if you're smoking and you're blowing smoke right at someone, and that causes him damage, it's like, you know, it's like throwing poison at his face, and some of it goes in, you'd be responsible for... Okay, so with allergies, you might run into the other Chazon Ish. If you're just eating a peanut and he has a sensitivity to it, that's going to be different than spewing poison, which is poison to everyone. So it won't be the exact same. You'll have to figure out with the Yad HaChazon Ish. Okay, so to briefly recap, we have Mazik B'Yadayim is certainly Aser. Planting a tree is certainly Mutter because it's passive and there's a delay. Propping up a ladder near the birdcage is somewhere in between. The Gemara says it's a Groma of Giri, and since it happens right away, because if the Nemi is there, that is enough to make it Aser and to prevent a person from doing it. The Gemara, in Bav Metzi and Daf Kuf Yudzayin, deals with the following case. You had two neighbors, one lived upstairs, one lived downstairs, and the floor in between the two of them was leaky. And every time the fellow upstairs did sponge or poured water on the floor, it ended up raining into the bottom unit. And the Gemara wants to know who's responsible to take care of this leak. And the Gemara starts off by saying, you know, the floor, if you think about it, the floor in between, on one hand, it's the bottom person's roof. On the other hand, it's the top unit's floor. So who's responsible to take care of it? Whose responsibility is it to make sure that it's strong and it doesn't leak? The Gemara then wants to know how Rabbi Yossi fits into this shaila. The Gemara wants to say that according to the Chachamim, that you cannot plant any tree in your house if it's within 25 amos, because it'll destroy your neighbor's pit. So according to the Chacham, if you can't plant a tree, you certainly can't wash your hands, if that water is going to end up dripping down into the basement. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, the upstairs person is going to have to take care of the leak, because otherwise he can't use water. His water is causing damage to the downstairs. However, according to Rabbi Yossi says, I can plant a tree in my house, I can do what I want. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, if I want to do sponja, I'm doing it in my house, I don't have to worry about what happened, the fact that ultimately the water will end up dripping down. And therefore, if the fellow downstairs doesn't want water to be raining down on his head, he's going to have to fix the roof, the ceiling. It's his problem, not mine. Frech Gemara, wait a second. Rabbi Yossi agrees by Giri Dile. If you go ahead, you put a ladder and it right away causes damage, it's your responsibility. If you're pouring water, spilling water, and it's raining right down to the fellow underneath, even Reisi should agree that is austere, and we can stop, and the upstairs should be responsible to make sure this leak does not happen. Gemara answers, Ein Hachanami. But the case is, it was pasuk that it stopped. In other words, if there's a hole, there's literally a hole in the floor, and when you wash your hands, it's spilling directly down on the fellow underneath, that's certainly your responsibility. It might be other mamazik, even if not, if it rolls around a little bit, if it happens right away, that's giri, we certainly can stop the upstairs neighbor from using the water in that way. However, the case is not like that. The case is, we're not dealing with a huge hole. We're dealing with a case where the person would wash his hands or do sponge. The water would get absorbed into the floor. But the way water works, if it gets absorbed, ultimately it would condense, it would filter down, and it would go downstairs and cause damage. Because it did not happen right away, it moved around, it got absorbed, and it was only over time the water would ultimately end up leaking down. There, the Gemara says, according to Rav Yossi, the upstairs neighbor can say, this is not my problem, this is your problem, you want to fix it, you can take care of the ceiling, I can go ahead and I can use the water because it is not a direct damage. So what comes out based on this Gemara is that if you have a leak in your pipe, and it's raining on the fellow downstairs, if it's immediate, there's a huge amount of water, or it's a terrible leak, and it's just pouring directly down onto him, everyone agrees, you've got to fix it. On the other hand, if it's a small leak, and it's just a minor drip, and it's just getting absorbed in, and it's just over time, it somehow condenses and ends up downstairs, according to Chachamim, it's the Mazik's problem, but according to Rabbi Yossi, who we pass in like, it would seem the Nizik would have no ability to force the Mazik to fix his pipes.
So, if it happens, getting it small, and it is, according to your bills, you didn't do anything, but after a while it gets bigger, and after that, you know, the Mazik say, you were supposed to do it, it's not my problem. You know,
if right now it's cascading out, and every time he washes his hand, it goes straight down, right now it would be a Mazik be a daim or giri, it would be the Mazik would have to stop. Not sure. He has no chiv to do it. If he doesn't mind taking a shower every time he sits down for lunch, that's his decision. He doesn't have an obligation to fix it. It's just he doesn't have a tvio that I should stop using water. So Medina de Gemara, what seems to come out is, if your neighbor has a leak, as long as it's not direct, it takes time, it gets absorbed, and only comes out later, it's not his problem. The victim, if he wants to take care of it, he would have to fix it on his own. Now, though that is what seems to come out in Medina de Gemara, there's a Chuvah Rosh that has a tremendous Chiddush, which the Chazanish takes this Rosh and really makes makes the foundation of the entire Nizkei Shechayim and totally changes around the entire Sugya. The Rosh dealt with the following case. A person dug a ditch on his property. Now, he was marchik, the three tvachim, the six tvachim that you normally need to be marchik when you're digging a ditch, it says in the first Mishnah. But what was happening is that the water, when it rained hard, this ditch would get full. And when it overflowed, somehow it managed to go in and totally flood your neighbor's basement. The neighbor objected, said, you're totally destroying my basement, my maritz, my storage house. You have to be marchik. The Mazik said, what do you want from me? I moved away my sixth tvachim, my three tvachim. I'm not directly impacting you. What's the problem? The problem is that over time, after a few weeks or months, it rains, it fills up, it overflows. Is that giri delay? That's not direct. I dug my thing, weeks ago, months ago. It's very indirect. It takes time. The water is traveling. Since we pass on like Rabbi Yossi, this is your problem and not my problem. This is a question posed to the Rosh. Zok the Rosh, a tremendous chiddush. He says, when do we have machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Chachamim? You have a tree, the other guy has a pit. Now, trees and pits, neither of them are very expensive. And if a person's pit is being ruined, it's not a very big deal to either cut down the branches, the roots, or to move the pit to the other side of his property. It's not a very big expense to dig a hole. Someone's pouring water, the question is just putting a little zephes, sealing the floor a little better. Not a very big expense, not a very big deal. The question is simply whose responsibility it is. There we decide, we look at Rabbi Yossi, giri delay, not giri delay. That's where these halachas apply. Zok the Rosh, if you have a case where your basement is being totally flooded, that's a huge hefset. What are you going to do? There's no practical way to deal with it. And on top of it, there's no way for the nizik to protect himself. When there's tons of water cascading into the basement, there is no practical way to drain it out. So it's something which the mazik can easily control, and if he doesn't control it, it causes a tremendous hefsid for the nizik. Zog the Rosh, in such case, all bets are off. Rabbi Yossi is moida when you're goyrim a large hefsid, even though it doesn't meet the normal requirements of gear delay, nevertheless, the neighbor has the right to stop you. And therefore, in the Rosh's case, he paskind that the neighbor has the right to force the person to move the ditch, to protect it in a way where it should not overflow into his neighbor's basement. Now, based on this, and the Chazon Ish takes this, now to understand the Rosh, the Chazon Ish goes back to his Yosoid and his whole Havana of whole Nizkei Shcheinim. If we understand Nizkei Shcheinim like regular Adam HaMazik, there are rules. You're either a Mazik or you're not a Mazik. It's either a Grama or it's a Garmi. It's direct or it's not direct. You can't go ahead. In Adam HaMazik, we don't make these judgment calls or equitable adjustments that it's a bigger loss for him than for me, and therefore it's us. Either it's us or a Mutter. However, in Nizkei Shcheinim, the way the Chazon Ish understood, the whole Nizkei Shcheinim is about people need to live together. On one hand, people have to be able to enjoy their property. On the other hand, they can't go ahead. They have to be mindful of the impact on their neighbors. So therefore, besides looking at who's doing the action, it is Giri, it's not Giri, we look at the consequences. And if one person will have a tremendous hefsid, and for the other person, he can easily address the issue, Vir Chazal shifted the burden onto the person who is more able to control it, even though it doesn't meet the technical requirements of Rabbi Yossi of Giri delay. Now, if we take this rush and extend it to our leaky pipe, it is very likely that if you're living downstairs and your entire your ceiling is being destroyed by water that's coming through, and short of short of going ahead and just building an iron some sort of to block it, there's really no way for you to protect the water. The only thing that can be done is for the mazik to control his use. So there, many placemen today say that based on this rush, since it's large hefsid for you and it's really not in your control, it's something the mazik has to control, there it's the mazik's achrayah to take care of. Now, even in the rush's case, you have to realize when the mazik takes care of it, he cannot send the nizik a bill. Chazal didn't say the mazik can't tell the nizik, you know what, you pay for my expense of shifting it. They didn't do that. Once it's something the mazik can take care of, we look at him as it's his responsibility, he's the mazik, and he would have to go ahead and take care of the problem at his own expense. So here too, if there is a leak where the only way it could be fixed, the mazik is the only one that can fix it, and it's causing significant hefsedim, there it would be on the mazik's responsibility to take care of it. Now one important caveat, which the Rosh mentions at the end, what happens if neither party really can control this? There's a leak, but it's not a simple leak. And the mazik will have to spend a huge amount of money trying to identify where that leak is and to fix it. So in a case where if the whole reason why we've shifted this achrayus is because it's a tremendous loss to the nizik, and it's in the mazik's control, that's only when it's in the mazik's control. On the other hand, if the same way it's not feasible or practical for the nizik to spend, for the nizik to guard himself will be a tremendous expense. For the mazik to protect himself, it will also be a tremendous expense. Then already we go back to the ikar halacha, where unless it's giri delay, it will not be the mazik's responsibility.
Now, it's similar. It's easy for the mazik to move the bar to the other side of the property. It's not easy for the mazik to go ahead and to redo his entire flooring. It's a big difference. You said that. So therefore,
exactly. That is the Rosh's point. That because we're shifting it, because it's a tremendous problem for the Nizik and it's in the Mazik's control, it has to be where, number one, it's a real problem for the Nizik. A small little leak, which you can survive, you can ignore, that would not qualify. And it has to be practical for the Mazik. Now, what does easy mean? Now, where to draw the line? That's obviously a judgment call, which it's hard to give clear gedarim. But based on this Rosh is actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Without the whole Hezber, the Chazon Ish makes a tremendous yisoid out of this, and in many cases that we'll have to deal with, number one, the technical rules, but we'll also have to address whether the Rosh's exception will apply, and whether we'll shift the burden based on the fact that it's what's practical and who has the ability to control the Hezek.